Let us remain standing as we turn to God's word this morning. Let's turn to the first epistle of Peter, chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. We are going to read the first 10 verses. We have started on a new series of sermon series called the 7 Attributes of a Healthy Church. And we are going to continue on what we started the last Sunday. Last Sunday we heard about the church being the hope of the world. Today we are going to learn about healthy churches follow the blueprint. The healthy churches follow the blueprint. 1 Peter chapter 2. Please follow in your own Bibles as I read the first 10 verses. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, coming to him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God, and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore it is also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes in me, in him will no means be put to shame. Therefore to you who believe, he is precious. To those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word, to which they also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who were not a people but now are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Amen. Amen. Can we just close our eyes for a moment and ask the Lord, Lord, you talked to me this morning. You have been speaking to me about different things this morning. And we came to know about the righteous and the wicked, and how the righteous man can delight in your word. But this morning, Lord, continue to talk to us about what is meant by being your child. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this beautiful day and that we could gather in your presence. We pray that you open our eyes to behold what you want to talk to us this morning. And Lord, I pray that you speak to each and every one of us, O Father. Bless us together. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Please have a seat in the presence of God. I was finding it so interesting that the children sang the song, Christ the Cornerstone, and I was about to preach about that. You know, the Holy Spirit has sometimes things laid out in such a way that we understand that this is truly God's word. Especially yesterday, both during the morning and the evening sessions, we had a great conformity in what God wanted to talk to us. And I'm so grateful for the Lord for his word. If you remember, we started this series about what is meant by a church. What is meant by a healthy church? And that is what we are looking for. And if you remember, I just want to jog your memory to when Jesus first time declared that he is going to build a church. The passage that I took was from Matthew chapter 16, when verses 13 to 19, where when Peter got the revelation about who Jesus was, that he was the Son of God, he was the Savior of the world, Jesus revealed that he is going to build his church. The moment when Peter got the revelation that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, God in flesh, who is the Savior of the entire humanity, Jesus said, I am going to build my church. As I told you the last time, the church is not a building. That's why we don't have a fancy building here, but we are a church. Because what is a church? A church is a group of people who have been called out. You remember earlier from Leah, we heard that we have been called. We have been called out people. A group of people who have been called out together we form the church because the root word in Greek is called ecclesia, which means called out people. And this church was built on the revelation that Jesus Christ is the Messiah who is dying for the sins of the whole world. And that was the revelation and the confession that Peter spoke before Jesus Christ. Then Jesus told Peter, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. Peter used the keys of the kingdom to open the door of the church, first to the Jews, that we read in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. He opened the doors of the kingdom to the Jews. And later on in Acts chapter 14, he opened the door to the Gentiles. God used Peter, gave him the keys to open the door so that a group of called out people will come together and they will be the hand and feet of Jesus in this world. Today, we are the representatives of Jesus Christ. We are His hands and feet. We are His mouthpiece to a world that is perishing, to an earth that is going to be soon destroyed. We are the mouthpiece of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are the ambassadors of God. We are the children of God. We are the children of the light. And we live in the midst of darkness where people are following and going after evil times. So everyone who confesses, number one, that Jesus Christ is the Lord, He is the Messiah, He is God in flesh, and the person who accepts Jesus into their heart, who repents of the sin, and who accepts Christ as a personal Savior, such a person who obeys and follows up with that call by entering into the waters of baptism, they are the members of the church. So even if you have accepted Christ, but you have not obeyed the Lord in water baptism, you are still not part of the body of Christ, which is called the church. And so today, I want to talk to you for a few minutes about the church in the form of a building. The church is described in many different ways in the epistles. The church is described as a farm. The church is described as a bride. The church is described as a building. But today I want to focus on the church as a building. It's a building that is being built up for God. So in order for getting a building to be built up, first there is a blueprint. Without a blueprint, no builder will build a building. Because the blueprint will tell exactly the dimensions of the building. It will give you the specifications about how many rooms they are. And depending upon the nature of the building, you will build that particular building. So a hospital is not going to be built in the same dimensions as a house is. A house is not built in the same dimensions as a school is. Every building has a purpose, and the blueprint explains what the building is going to be about. So when you compare the church to a building, it has a blueprint. God has given a blueprint. Where is the blueprint found? It is found in the Word of God. Amen? The Word of God is explaining how the church is going to be building. What is the foundation? What is the structure? Who are part of this building? And today, brothers and sisters, I want you to understand your role in the church. Many people think in a church it is a pastor's role to do everything. I'm sorry. That was something that came from the Catholic, where the priests were given unlimited power and they were the only ones who are doing it, and the people would just come, listen to some liturgy and go home. The laity had no part in the work of the ministry. But that is not the way the Bible explains about a church. We are all members of a church. Individually, God has given you talents. God has given you opportunities and treasures and time. You need to use what you have to be a part of building this great infrastructure that is called the church. Today the church is being built. And I'm telling you for a matter of fact, God is building His church. And this is something that we understand. So the blueprint is found in the Word of God. And when we look at the blueprint will give an idea about what the finished building is going to be like. So the God's Word is the blueprint for the church, and it identifies what is the foundation and gives a clear picture about what the church is. So to make it very simple, and for the sake of our children who are, I believe, listening to this word very, very earnestly, there are three truths that I want to speak concerning this blueprint. Three fundamental truths. I want us all to think about that. Number one, Jesus is building his church. He is the builder. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus said, I will build my church. And no force of the enemy can overcome the church being built. No force of the enemy can overcome the church being built today. Jesus is building his church. There were many countries that were close to the gospel. We all know about that. China was one of the countries that was close to the gospel. Do you know today there are more Bibles produced in China than any other parts of the world? There are no more people coming to the Lord in China than any other parts of the world. There was a time when the Middle East was close to the gospel. The wars, the Gulf War brought about a lot of Bibles. I was living in the Gulf during a time when we could not gather together. But now legally people can gather and worship. And the doors of the gospel have been opened. Even in the Middle East countries, in the Gulf countries, in China, in Russia, in Africa, which was closed, God is opening up doors and the church is being built all over the world. Let me tell you, the gates of hell cannot prevail over it. Because Jesus has been building his church, and he will build his church to the completion. Whether you be a part of that building or not, it's up to you. But God is not dependent on any one of us to build his church. If we are not participating, he will use somebody else to build his church. So dear child of God, let me tell you, God is calling many Muslims today. God is giving them visions and dreams, and they are calling them to the faith. And they are more radical to preach the gospel than even we are able to do that. When we are not ready to go out of our comfort zone, God is calling up families like Ryan and Tamara and Leah to go to a foreign mission to be a part of the great mission effort that the church is engaged in. So number one, Jesus is building his church, and no force of the enemy can stop it. The second point that I want you to understand is that Jesus is the chief cornerstone. We sang about that song just a little while ago. Jesus is the chief cornerstone of the church. And apostles and prophets are the foundational stones of the church. We read that in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 20. And Isaiah chapter 28 verse 16, which is Apostle Peter is giving that note. That he is the chief cornerstone of the church. This was a stone that the builders rejected. Psalms 118 verse number 22 and 23 says, this is the stone that was rejected, but it was marvelous in our eyes because God used that rejected stone, who was Jesus Christ, and God used that stone to become the chief cornerstone to build his church. Hallelujah. The third and the very important point that I want you to think about, today we are the building blocks that God is using to build his church. I want us to look to this verse where Apostle Peter is speaking about that. 1 Peter chapter 2. If you read verse number 4 and 5, it speaks that we need to go to Jesus as a living stone. He is the chief cornerstone. He is a living stone. He is not a dead stone, but he is a living stone. And in verse number 5, it says that we are also spiritual stones. God has built us as spiritual stones. Now, who is speaking this? Apostle Peter, to whom Jesus revealed that I am going to build a church.
Peter is saying what the church is all about. We are all living stones that God is using to build His church. Can you imagine the enormous responsibility and the trust that God is laying upon us to be a part of His building project? We are living stones. Verse number 5. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse number 5 says, we are living stones. We are being built up a spiritual house. God is building up us as a spiritual house. And that is the reason that we are being built. And then down in verse number 7. For those of us who believe, Jesus becomes precious for us. He is our delight. He becomes precious to us who believe in Him. And it says in verse number 8, 7 and 8. For those who are disobedient, this stone, the chief cornerstone, who is actually the rock of ages, Jesus Christ, who is precious to us, for somebody who does not believe, he becomes a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. People get offended hearing the name of Jesus. You know why? Because they are disobedient. They don't want to accept Jesus Christ. So for people who are not accepting Jesus Christ, he becomes a rock of offense. He is offensive. He becomes a stumbling stone. And he is becoming somebody who is unpopular in the world that we live today. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But let me also, so this is the opinion of Apostle Peter. Let me also take you to another passage. Can you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3? 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Where Apostle Paul speaks about in the same category, but he is giving us a different thought. And I want to bring that before you as I am concluding this. I want us to understand, brothers and sisters, our part in the church. God has established the church. This is His body. Every other ministry that we do is to support the church. This is the parent. Everything that we do, any mission, any gospel outreach, anything that happens has to feed into the church, because the church is what Jesus is building today. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verses 9 to 15. I want us all to look at our Bibles, that I will point out a few things to you. Verse number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Apostle Paul says, for you are God's building. I'm not taking the full verses. I'm going to give you just the pertinent part. He says you are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. But you are God's building. So we are the building of God. And then he says about himself, that every day we are building on a foundation. What is the foundation? The foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ. We are building every day by the things that we do. We are building upon that foundation, which you cannot create another foundation. The foundation has already been laid down, and that is Jesus Christ. In verse number 11 it says that, you know, no other foundation can anyone lay but that is already laid of that building. That is Jesus Christ. And then from verse number 12, we see that as you build, people are using different kind of materials to build. Here we see six different kinds of materials that people are building their lives upon. And I'll explain to you what it means. There are six different things that people use to build. We see that some people are building on that foundation with gold, silver, and precious stones. There are other people also who are building, but they are building on things like wood, hay, and straw. The difference between the first three and the last three is that the first three will last. The last three will not last. We are all building our lives on certain things. Whatever you do in this world, you are building using the materials and it is being built upon. But if you built your life on things that are beyond our grave, that are of eternal values, those are the things that will last. One day that we can show before Christ that this is part of my effort. For example, if you speak the gospel to somebody and somebody gets come to the Lord, you can say, this is a thing that lasts. It's called a fruit that lasts. We are bearing fruit that lasts. If you concentrate your whole day, your whole week, in taking care of yourself, your food, your job, your family, your clothes, your hobbies, your leisure, you are building upon things that are not going to last. One day, when we stand before God and we show the output of our work is going to be tried through fire. When the work is going through fire, three sets of materials will last through the fire. But the other three sets of material will not last. They will burn away. The word of God is very clear here. Look to verse number 12, 13 and 14. This is not my word. This is the word of God. If you do things of eternity, having eternal values, which means if you work towards the kingdom of God, those are the things that will last beyond your lifetime. So one day you can show, stand before God and say, Lord, you have given me this, and this is what I have gained for you. Remember the talents, the parable of the talents. Lord, you have given me this. This is what I've gained for you. Many of us have got a lot of talents, but we bury it under the ground. We don't care. We think it's somebody else's work to do this job. But let me tell you, God has placed upon each one of us to do the work that will last out through eternity. Yesterday night, Brother Kamal spoke about that. Doing the work that will outlast our life. Leaving a legacy behind. Doing something for eternal values. That is what each of you should do. It does not only include standing behind a pulpit like me and preaching. There are so many things that you can do from your time and from your efforts. Things that will last beyond your lifetime. Praise God. Dear brothers and sisters, let me tell you that you need to concentrate. We all need to concentrate on using our life effectively. Our life is short. Before you know it, we are gone. Either Jesus comes or death knocks at our door. If we are only concentrating on living our life, only concentrating on day by day, how I can take care of myself, let me tell you, one day we will be saved. I'm not saying that you are going to go to hell. I'm not saying that, because the word of God clearly says in verse number 14 and 15, you will be saved. But when you stand before Christ, there will be nothing to show Him for. All your works will be burned out. You will say, my son, I've called you 30 years. You have been coming to a church and hearing my word for 30 years. What have you done for my kingdom? What have you done so that my kingdom, my church is going to be built up? What have you done for things of eternal value? And at that time, let not our eyes look down and say, I did not use my time wisely. I still remember back when I was studying. We got together on the 50th reunion of our high school. Do you know that among us there are people who have become the CEOs of company? There is one guy who is right now rotting in Tihar jail because he killed two people. The same class, we sat in the same desk. We studied the same thing. One of them is the CEO of a company. The other person is in the solitary confinement of Tihar jail today. The same thing. We all go through the same ways. Some people will be rewarded. Some people will be condemned. God is wanting us to be wise builders. That's why Paul says, I was a wise master builder. Because he used to go and build and he would reach people for Christ. And today as I'm closing it here, I want you to think about your life. Number one, it says that we need to be connected with Christ. The only way you can be effective is you need to be connected. We are like the branches, He is the vine. We have to be closely connected. Without connection, you cannot be effectual in your life. Number two, as we connect, we bear fruit. The fruit that we bear, they should last. Which means that we should be always thinking about eternal purposes. Every day we are building. We all are living in Charlotte. We all are working or going to school. We are building upon our lives. But one day, the works that we do, it will be revealed through fire. And God will look and see what we have done. And that day, let us not, none of us be ashamed. Let us invest our time and energy into building the kingdom of God. This is what I want to tell you. As you are in your own world, when you go away from the church, you are in your own world, in your family, in your job. Think about eternity. Think that God has put you as His hands and His feet and His mouthpiece to reach people for Christ. Hallelujah. That is why Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Can we close our eyes as we are going to concentrate on the Lord for a moment? And we are going to go to the table of the Lord. I want us for a moment to look to ourselves and look into our lives and say, Lord, what am I building my life upon? Am I building on things that are going to last, or am I building on things that is not going to last? Where do I focus my energy, Lord, today? Where do I focus my life today? I am just counseling each and every one of you. Please don't waste your days. Don't let your days take you away. Don't let go in the ways of the world one day that you look back and regret that you have wasted a lot of time. Let's close our eyes for a moment. I want us to surrender ourselves before God today. As we look to the Lord today, we are before the Lord's table. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let us totally surrender our hearts. Can we just pray to the Lord quietly?